And so as many of us know, and as you might see on the screen, we're going through this sermon series. We just started it last week, and it's, the understanding of it is life is dot, dot, dot. So the understanding is that we're going through Psalms, the book of Psalms. We're not going through the whole book, but we're picking different certain Psalms throughout the book to explain what the understanding of Psalms is. This understanding of a collection of songs, of prayers, of people, when they are dealing with different things in our lives, different things that you have to go through, what they said to God, how they recognize God in the greatest of their joys and in the deepest of their sorrows, these Psalms speak to those things. And so as Pastor Alf stated last week, there should never be a time in our lives we're not able to go to the Psalms and find someone dealing with some of the same hurt or same joys or same experiences that we are dealing with. And that's why it's so special. And not only is it that, but it's also a book. The Psalms is actually a book of the whole of Israel and how they had to go through life. And so it actually gives you a picture of some of the things that they were dealing with, some of the hardship that they went through as a whole group, and how they were able to persevere and maintain and understand who God is. Pastor Alf also explained last week that Psalms is actually broken up into five different sections. Each section with their own really focus that they want us to focus on when we look at Psalms. And so a lot of people put chapter 1 and chapter 2 in the first book, but what we'll find is that chapter 1 and chapter 2 are actually like the introduction to all of Psalms. They're here to give us a base that we can read all of Psalms under and understand what God is doing, understand what he would have to us to understand about him in the books of Psalms. So we want to look at Psalm 2 today. But before we do that, I want us to understand something. This Psalm chapter 1 and Psalm 2. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. They are bookend by this word that Pastor Alf brought out last week called blessing. Blessed is the one. And so when we look at Psalms 1, the first verse goes, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. Or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So this understanding is blessed, and Pastor Alf explained to us that this word blessed kind of means happy. Like if you want to be happy, really the understanding is you need to meditate on the word of God, on the law of God day and night, and you will be happy. You don't sit, you don't stand, you don't walk in understanding of sinners, but you meditate. Really the key is you're meditating on God's word, on his law. You're falling in love with it each and every day, and that's where happiness is. So we look at Psalms 2. It's interesting. It's the very last verse of Psalms 2 that actually has this word blessed in it. So this understanding of this safe place that you can find, this base, is in Psalm 1. It starts, this is, happiness comes from this, meditating on the law. The very last verse in Psalms 2 has that same word blessed. Listen, it says, kiss his son or he will be angry and your way will lead to destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So this first one in Psalm 1 is understanding blessed, and there's understanding of you doing something, kind of like just meditating on God's law, and there's a safe place there. This last one says, blessed are all who take refuge in him. I want you to focus in on that word, refuge. Because refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. So when we think about that, think about what he's saying. Blessed are those who take refuge, who find safety in him. Like you're being pursued. There's an understanding in this that there's something else going on in the world. There's something else happening that is not just this safe place, but you're being pursued. There's danger out there, and you need to find safety under his care. It's kind of like there's a war going on, or kind of like tag. Right? I don't know if you ever played tag before, but if you played tag and you had bases, right? What would you do? You'd run to the base. You're like, I'm on base, I'm safe, right? But once you get off base, you know there's a whole world out there of someone trying to get you. Not quite sure where they are, you're running, you don't know what's going on, but you're safe on base. And so there's this understanding that you can find safety, you're on base, when you are doing Psalm 1, when you are meditating on God's word, God's law, day and night, there's safety there, there's happiness there. But be aware that there is something pursuing you in this world. So you need to take refuge under his care. So what is going on when we look at Psalms 2? What's going on in Psalms 2 where we have to find refuge, where there's some other enemy or something else going on? If you look at Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it reads, "Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." And so right here, we get an understanding that there's this other entity that's there, this other thing that's going on that's trying to come up against God. You have rulers, you have kings of this world who are trying to band together to do one thing, to try to separate people from God. They're trying to come up against God. They're trying to separate people from God. So this is the enemy. These are the people who are trying to tag you. This is what's going on in the world. You have these rulers. You have these kings all sitting there trying to do one thing, and that's separate you from God. They're trying to get you off base. Come off of base. Get away from being safe. Get away from that safe place. Their jobs are trying to separate you from God. If they separate you and they get you off base, then you are then in their realm, and they're looking to control you. Now think about how they say it. Think about this. These rulers, these kings, in here it says they will come together to try to overthrow God. They'll come together to try to fulfill this mission of separating people from God. And it says, this is what they say: "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." What they do, the first thing they do is say, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The understanding of what they're saying is that these rules that God has you under, those are really chains and shackles. Those are really things that are going to bring you destruction, make you feel overwhelmed and oppressed. Let's break off those chains and break off those shackles. We're here to help you. We're here to do the exact opposite, to make you understand the exact opposite of what Psalm 1 says, that there's safety there. No, really, that's not safety. That's just oppression. That's something that's weighing you down. These rules, these things of God, are things that are just holding you down. You need to break free of those things. And so let's figure out how to break you free. We may say to ourselves, man, that sounds kind of weird in the far-off understanding that they had there, but let's think about what people say. Now, those are those old antiquated rules that God wants you to follow. These things about what marriage should be, these things about who you should be, how you should act, all those things are antiquated. They're there really to hold you down. You need to break free of those things. You know what you need to do. Break free of God. He's holding you down. Don't go based on what God says in his word. Break free of that so you can be free and be all that you're supposed to be. That's what the world's telling us right now. They're trying to get us off base so that then they can start controlling the narrative of your life. They're trying to get us off base. These rulers, these kings, are trying to get you to understand that God is not who he said he is. That God is evil, that God is there just to destroy you. And we need to get you away from him. Mm-hmm. And so how do they do it? The enemy's plan is to separate people from God and his anointed. They do it through a couple of different ways. They do it through distractions. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of distractions in my life. I'm going to say one distraction, and this is not bad. Well, it may be bad in some days, but, you know, we have, like, fantasy football coming up. So I got people thinking about that, and I got people texting me about fantasy football, and I can spend all day figuring out fantasy football. I have these little video games on my phone. I can spend all day doing those things. I have different things. That, hey, look at this. Hey, last week with the video, hey, look at this money. Look at this car, whatever it is. All these different things that distract you just to get you off base. Think about this. When you're playing tag and you're trying to tag someone and they're on base, you want them just to kind of get distracted. Hey, look at that. Is that the ice cream truck over there? They just kind of walk off a little bit so you can get them. They're trying to get you distracted. So what they do, they use distractions, all these different things in your life to get you focused, not focused on God, not focused on meditating on His Word, but just to get you focused on something else, they can get you off base. They can try to separate you from God. They bring up arguments to disprove God. Oh, He's not real. Look, you can tell He's not real. He's not here. Why do we have evil? Because that will prove that He's not real. They have all these different arguments. I was looking at Facebook. So that's a distraction. But I was looking at Facebook this past week, and a friend of mine posted, and it was an astronaut that was in outer space, and he had a sign. He said, I do not see God out here.
Oh.
I still don't see God out here.
Oh.
Right? And then you had one guy who posted back. He was like, just wait till the oxygen leaves. Then you'll see him. But you have this understanding that these people are saying, I don't see God. See, He's not here. They're trying to create all these arguments to try to push you away from God. It's not safe there. He's not really around you. These laws are from some far off person. He's not here with you right now. You don't need to trust Him. They give you arguments to disprove God, or they bring fear. There's a lot of, in our past, we've seen persecution in places, not just here, but all over the world.
Yeah.
Where they say, if you trust in God, we're going to kill you.
Right.
Or maybe for us, it's like, if you say God at the workplace, you're going to get fired. If you believe these things, if you want to espouse these things, if you want to talk about these things, there's going to be a consequence and a repercussion that's going to hurt you, and I'm going to fear you. I'm going to bring fear into you. I'm going to intimidate you off base. Think about that with tag. Hey, I'm going to beat you up. Don't get off that base. That's what you're saying. And as a person playing tag, you're like, but I'm safe here. My job is to get you to think that I am in charge so I can push you where I want you to go when I'm playing tag. So the enemy's plan is to separate people. And there's always this understanding that God is very far off. All those rules are just antiquated rules, and He doesn't really care about what's going on with you. So come follow us instead. And this is God's response. Psalms chapter 2, starting at verse 4, it reads, "The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in His anger and terrifies them with His wrath, saying, 'I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain.'" And so while they're doing this, and while they're trying to say that He is not who He said He is, while they're trying to overthrow God, what is God doing? God is in heaven laughing. Laughing at what they're trying to do. These people plot in vain. They do these different things. I don't know if you guys can picture this, but it's almost like all these people saying all these bad things about God and how they're going to overthrow God and how He's not important. He's just sitting back laughing. What are these people talking about? Look how cute they are. Out there thinking they're doing something strong. It's almost like the understanding of the Tower of Babel. I'm going to remember the Tower of Babel. They were building this tower to reach up to where God is, to be where God is. So they're building this tower, and then the verse that hits me is right there. He says, God comes down to see what they're doing. They built up as high as they could, and He's like, oh, let me come down to where y'all are. Y'all thought y'all were high. Y'all thought y'all made it up pretty high. Let me come down to where y'all are. Because you think you're doing something strong or something amazing, but you're nowhere close to where I am. So God laughs at their plans because He is stronger than that. He is greater than that. But not only does He laugh, He laughs at what they are planning to do, what they think is important. I know there's an understanding. I read this chapter this past week. It's understanding that people put themselves in high places so you can focus on them and be not focused on God, and that God sits there and laughs at those things. And so there's a guy named Walter Brueggemann, who wrote this. He wrote a book, and in it he talks about blessed are the history makers. And the idea is that a lot of times in history, a lot of times the way we understand history are from these great kings or some from these great presidents, and everything revolves around them. When we look in the Bible, it's something different. We look in the Bible, we look at 1 Kings, 2 Kings, you may have one or two verses about these kings, but it's not about the kings at all. It's about what God is doing through his prophets. It's about what God is doing through all this other thing. You have these people in place, and while everybody might look at those people, that's not what God is focused on. God is laughing because you think these kings are important. Look at what he's doing. He's the one who's making history. He's the one that you're supposed to be focused on. Stop worrying about these kings. Stop worrying about these rulers. Focusing on him, and you will see who has the true power. One example of this is this Emperor Diocletian. He reigned in 284 to 305. And one thing he did, one of his greatest accomplishments that he thought is that he eradicated Christians from the earth. He was excited about it. He created two monuments. One said that he extended the Roman Empire in the east and west, and for having extinguished the name of Christians who brought the Republic to Rome. Another monument he had put up was that for him, for having everywhere abolished the superstition of Christ and having extended worship of the gods. And so for him, this is what he thought he had done. I have taken Christians away from him. Now, we don't even know who this person is, right? We've never even heard this person before in life, but we know who Christians are still to this day. So while he thought he was in power, while he thought that he was doing something special, God laughed at him. What? You can build these monuments saying something. This is only going to make you look more foolish. Thousands of years later, when Christians are all over the world and when my rule, my word is still powerful and effective, they'll have these relics of you, but they'll mean nothing. They'll just show how foolish you are. God laughs. But he doesn't just laugh. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. He doesn't just laugh at them, but he speaks back to them. He lets them know who he is. And he lets them know, I'm not far off. You see, these things that you said were just rules, were just these things that people were shackled by. He's like, no, I'm here with you. I'm going to be personally involved with you. I'm going to install my king. I'm going to install the king. It's not just words. It's not from some far off God. He wants you to know that he is personal. He is right here. In verse 7, it says, it reminds us who his king is. I will proclaim the Lord's decree, he said to me. You are my son. Today I have become your father. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, while Jesus was being baptized, he went up out of the water. At the moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. God says he's going to establish his king, and you'll know because he will say, this is my son. Not this is my creation, this is my begotten son. That means I didn't just create him, he is from me. This is who he is, this is who the king is. And so while he said it in the past and it speaks to David's line, it also speaks directly to Christ coming in the future. This is the son, this is the king you're supposed to follow. This is the one who will stand forever. Don't worry about these other rulers, understand who he is. He's the one who is here for us to find faith in. Verse 8 and 9, it says, ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possessions. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. He not only says who Christ is, but he says here he's going to give him authority over all the nations and power to destroy those who come against him. So this is who the king is. This is what he wants his people to understand. Hey, stop worrying about these other rulers. Understand who I enthroned as king. In Psalms chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, he then finishes up with, therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And he says, so, you kings, you rulers, you thought you had the plan. You kings, you rulers, you thought you could get people away from me. I need you to understand something. I'm going to enthrone who the true king is. And this king will be over you. He'll be able to destroy you at any moment. He'll be able to come to your land and take over. He is the king. Who God calls king is king. And he's called his king, his anointed one, Jesus. So he warns them, he tells them, he doesn't just destroy them, he warns them, hey, so understanding this, understanding your folly, that you think you can pull people away from me, understanding your folly, that you think that you are stronger than I am, that I have to bow down to you, understanding who I am, therefore you might think, you might need to change your ways, you might need to fall up under his authority. He gives them grace. He says, now listen, because of what I'm going to do, because of who the king is, now it's time for you to fall up under that authority. It says, serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his ruling with trembling. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. He's saying, while you may think you're important, understanding that his king is the one who needs to be respected, that needs to be revered. Not only are we called to tremble, or the king's called to tremble because of his power, but it also says, kiss his son. This understanding of kissing his son is understanding of a relationship. A relationship that's not one that's always full of fear, but one that's actually formed of love, of a connection. He says, you see, my king, the king that I'm going to anoint, the king that I have, is going to have power over all that you do. He's going to have power to destroy everything that you want to put up as higher than him, but he also is going to have a relationship with you. He also calls to have a relationship with you. So this one that you're supposed to be scared of, this one that you're supposed to fall up under, is not just there with power, but also there with relationship. This should help us understand when we come to communion today that we are actually going to be sitting with the king, the one who's over all things, but calls us into relationship. Calls us into this sweet communion with him. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Happy are those who take refuge in him. There's an understanding within these first two books, between Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, there's this understanding of blessed are those who meditate on God's word, on his law day and night, and those who find refuge in him. Blessed are those who understand the importance of God's word, and also the power and the authority of his kingdom. Blessed are you who do this. I want to say, happy are you who do this. Now you got to go into life. Now you got to take that where you go. Now as we go through the rest of Psalms, let's see how we're able to do that. Let's see how when life gets us struggling, when we start to struggle, when we start to see other things, let's see, do we remember to mention on his word? Do we remember who the king is? Our life. See, these understandings are the foundations for you. Now, what are you going to do with these foundations? For us, as we go out, we have charge of people. The people in our community, maybe our children, everything like that. How are we going to rule? Are we going to rule like we are in charge, or are we going to rule like God is in charge? That Christ is in charge of our lives. When we go on our work, Are we going to rule like we're in charge? Are we going to work like Christ is in charge? How are we going to live this out? When you hear later on about the destruction of Israel, about the things that, the way that people feel because of some of the mistakes that they made, the question comes back, did you meditate on his word? Did you, were you under the authority of the king? These two things are going to be the bedrock of where you are. Where you're, because if you're under his authority, meditating on his word, even in your deepest sorrows, you're able to stand up and say thank you. You're able to stand up and still find joy because you know my king is not far off. You know at some point he'll laugh at these things that people are trying to do to me. I'll know at some point that he is steadfast, that he is always there, that he is my provider. He is the one who will never leave me nor forsake me. He is the one true God. If we're studying his word, if we're falling under his authority, no matter what this world brings to us, no matter what actually happens to us, we're able to stand tall and be the people he's called us to be. So the question, as we go through this life and we feel destroyed, we feel like we can no longer give up, that we're going to give up, and we feel like we can no longer keep moving forward, have we forgotten either one of these two things? During those times when you feel like, I don't know what to do, I'm so lost, have you been in his word? During those times when you feel defeated, when you feel distracted, when you find yourself doing things that you never thought you were going to do, have you reminded yourself that he is the king? It's time. Look, we want to be the people God's called us to be. We don't want to follow up under his rules. We want to be the people God's called us to be. But to be that, to be happy. Right. If you want to be happy, yes. To be happy, to be blessed,
yes.
Yeah.
You need to meditate on his word and you need to understand his authority. Mm-hmm. As you go through life, things are going to happen to you. You're going to hear about this in the song. Things are going to happen because of you.
Yeah.
The question is, if you truly want to succeed, if you truly want to prosper, are you holding on to the two basic things that he said? Meditate, fall in love with my law, and fall up under my authority. If you are there, you will be blessed. All the other stuff that happened in between, from Psalms 1:1 to Psalms 2:12, all the bad people doing stuff, all the kings trying to do all that's in there. But if you're bookend with these two things,
yes.
You will be blessed.
Yes.
You will be okay. You'll be able to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness,"
yes.
With a joy in your heart. In the midst of the hardest things that you've ever faced. Bookend your life with those two things. Bookend your days with those two things. Meditating on his word, understanding his kingship. And as we go through Psalms, you'll be able to understand it that much more. And as you go through life, you'll be able to live one that prospers and finds happiness and joy in the midst of that great world of tag that seems extremely dangerous and scary. Can we all bow our heads? Father God, Lord, we thank you this morning just for your word. We thank you, Father God, Lord, that you don't make it hard for us to understand. That you don't make us have to think about a whole bunch of things, Lord. You've laid it out for us. If we want to succeed, if we want to feel that joy, if we want to have that happiness, Father God, we need to meditate on your word. And fall under the authority of your anointed king. Jesus, we need to not only come in awe, but in a loving relationship, knowing that You have called us to yourself. You have provided the way, you've provided everything that we need to succeed, and so we just have to recognize you each and every moment of our lives. And Lord, you've promised to make our lives a testimony of one that overcome this world and found joy in life. And so Lord, we love you, we thank you. We state these things in Jesus' name as we all say, amen.